Mike Tegupin, hello, friend, and greetings again in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. This is Bob Griggs with the Bread of Life broadcast, and I'm delighted that you're joining us for a few moments of study around the Word of God. I invite you to get your Bible or New Testament and to join us as we look into the Word of God together today, and as we meditate upon the truth of God's Word. We're talking about what sin is and how men sin against Almighty God. And this is a subject that many people in the day and age we're living in do not understand and do not realize and do not know what sin really is. And thus there are many signs around to point out to people what is right and what is wrong, because people are not aware of what is legal or what is right and what is wrong, what is violating the laws of God Almighty. Again, in Romans chapter 3 and verse 20, for therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, speaking of God's sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The purpose of the law of God is to make man know what is right and what is wrong, to reveal to man what sin really is. In the Scofield Bible, there's a footnote that's very interesting in regards to sin. It states in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, the literal meaning of the Hebrew and Greek words variously rendered sin, sinner, so forth, disclose the true nature of sin in its manifold manifestations. That is, by manifold, it means that there are many different ways in which sin reveals itself. Sin is spoken of as transgression, an overstepping of the law, the divine boundary between good and evil. Sin is spoken of as iniquity, an act inherently wrong, whether expressly forbidden or not. And it's spoken of as error, a departure from the right, like Romans 3:23 states, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The whole human race is guilty of having sinned. We were born with a sinful nature. No one had to teach us how to do wrong because we had a nature to be rebellious. We had a nature to live our own way. We had a nature to go our own path and to do our own thing. It's inborn in man. We inherited that from our ancestors, and they inherited it from theirs all the way back to the first man and the first woman in the Garden of Eden. You go to the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings in the Bible, and in chapter 3, you read about how sin entered into the human race. By one man, we're told in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death came as a result of sin, for the wages, the penalty for sin, is death. And so death passed upon all men, because all have sinned. We're all guilty of having violated God's holy and righteous law. And so we see that sin is a departure from the right. It's missing the mark. Another term used for sin, a failure to meet the divine standard of Almighty God, such as keeping the law of God. To break God's law is sin, and we're all guilty beloved, and thus trespass the intrusion of self-will into the sphere of divine authority. Trespass. We're all guilty of trespassing God's holy and righteous law. We're all guilty of going contrary to the law of God. We've all seen signs on the grass that says, "Do not walk on the grass." We've all seen signs around property that says, "Do not trespass." That means not to go on that property. And to do so is to violate that law, to violate that rule. And thus we're all guilty of having trespassed against Almighty God and doing that which God states is wrong. Lawlessness, our spiritual anarchy, is sin. Violating God's law, that's what sin is. Unbelief are an insult to the divine righteousness and divine veracity, the divine truth. These all are different terms, different manifestations of sin against Almighty God. And we've been discussing in Exodus chapter 20 the law of God, the Ten Commandments that God gave to the nation of Israel and have been passed on to mankind ever since as guidelines to open our eyes to what is right and what is wrong. The first four commandments had to do with Israel's relationship with God. The last six commandments had to do with Israel's relationship with one another. And the law of God is still true today, beloved. It's still in effect. And to violate and to break it is what sin is. And thus we all are guilty, as we just read in Romans 3:23. Let me pick up again with Exodus chapter 20 and notice again verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Children are to honor their parents, irregardless of who their parents are or what their parents have done. They are to show respect and honor to them because of their position, not necessarily because of their behavior or their action, but they are to honor them because of their position. It's a principle called the principle of authority. If children do not honor their parents and respect their parents, they will not honor the civil laws of the land, or respect their teachers, or respect policemen, or respect those that are in authority. And to violate and to dishonor one's parents is to violate the principle of authority that goes all the way up to Almighty God and honoring and respecting Almighty God. This is a principle that is called the law, one of the Ten Commandments, one of the Ten Laws that God gave for man's benefit and for man's good. And to disobey and dishonor the law of God is to disobey Almighty God, to dishonor Almighty God. It is sin. And that's why we're all guilty, because we've all sinned and come short of measuring up to God's standard of righteousness. And as we were discussing last time, thou shalt not kill has reference to committing murder. It doesn't have reference to one defending their country and defending their land, as some would try to make it out to be. Because God Himself sent Israel out to fight wicked nations and to destroy wicked nations. All you have to do is read 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles to see where God did that. The book of Jonah has to do with God sparing a wicked and vile nation that He was going to destroy because they repented of their sin and acknowledged that He was God. So God Almighty, beloved, is not talking about war and killing the enemy in war. He's talking about murder. That's what he's referring to in that commandment, verse 13. Verse 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. This has to do with sexual sin, beloved. It has to do with a man that is married committing a sexual act with another man's wife. It is adultery, and it is sinful, and it is wrong. It breaks down the marriage. It breaks down the home, which is the basis for civilization. And when the marriage and when the home is destroyed, civilization itself crumbles and falls and violates God's law, and it brings judgment and trouble and grief upon the nation that violates the law of God. And beloved, we're living in a nation here in the United States of America that is guilty of doing that very thing. And that's why we who are living in this day and age are seeing our nation crumble around us. I've lived long enough to remember the days when our nation respected God, when our nation honored God. When I was in high school, I was able to start a Bible club in our high school. We were able to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus. We had a revival. That is, one of the young men that had surrendered to preach, I had him preach. And 5 days, every day at noon, at 12:30, we would meet in the high school auditorium, and he would preach the Word of God. And we had the joy of seeing a number of our classmates come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And it had a godly influence on that high school. When I started high school, there was all kinds of wicked writings in the restroom walls and on the restroom walls. But once the Bible club was instituted and the gospel was preached, that graffiti began to be removed from the walls. And by the time we left school, there was no graffiti on the walls in the restrooms. And there was no problem with guns. There was no problem with kids killing one another. There was no problem with all of the things that are taking place today in the high schools and in the lower grade schools of the United States of America. We had no young people that were cursing and using God's name in vain. We had a righteous and a godly group of kids, and it was a wonderful high school because God was honored and respected. Till next time, goodbye.